All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast, and tonight we've got Ashley Mann back on the WWE Podcast to talk TLC and everything that comes with it. Does Charlotte Flair make a return? What about AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre? Could AJ Styles actually pull off the upset? What about Kevin Owens? Does he even have a chance in hell of beating Roman Reigns? We cover this and a ton more right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast for this TLC preview and prediction show with long-lost co-host Ashley Mann. Boy, is it great to have her back. Loved our quick chat together regarding TLC. I think you guys will as well. And hopefully we'll have her back on again soon. But it was great to catch up and talk some wrestling, because this is a crazy time for wrestling in terms of low ratings. What's WWE going to do? NXT is constantly losing to AEW. So does WWE pull off something crazy at TLC? Well, Ashley and I do find something that could happen. So that is that's going to be for later in the show. But I do want to quickly mention my website, which is WWEpodcast.com, and it's under construction because yours truly just broke it, and I got my tech guy on it to fix it. So that should be fixed in about a week or so as we roll into Christmas week. Isn't that insane? I was actually just reminded, like, Christmas is in a week. I'm like, wait, what? 2020 is done. In 11 days, it'll be the 30. No, hold on. 12 days. Jeez. 12 days will be January 1st. So I don't think any of us will shed a tear about 2020 leaving our lives. That'll be a good thing. And it's essentially WrestleMania season when we get to January. I mean, I know that, yeah, the Royal Rumble itself is the road to WrestleMania. Yeah, but what about the road to WrestleMania? I mean, that's essentially what you're going to be on in January. And one more stop, which is TLC. And that is coming up tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this show. So really an interesting card up and down the lineup. Some great quality matches on there. Some ones that are not easy to call. Some ones that look like slam dunks. And the main events are really not easy. And we cover those and some potential big moves that they could make. And WrestleMania implication moves. So stay tuned for that. How about that for a hook? But anyway, leave us a voicemail if you're interested too. And how do you leave us a voicemail? Well, you pick up your phone and you dial 518-952-0247, or you can email us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And had a pretty fiery voicemail show, a mailbag show this past week, and all about, like, you know, race and things like that. And hey, like, I addressed it the best way I could. And I was hope I was very clear on where I stand regarding some of the wrestlers in the business that I'm not a fan of. But I think it was a very respectful conversation and response. So go ahead and check that out at the last episode that we just dropped on Thursday morning. So, all right. A couple things here before we get to the TLC pay-per-view with Ashley. On SmackDown, you know, again, I don't do a SmackDown review. We have Michael Ritter, who does a great job of covering the SmackDown brand. But I want my two cents to be thrown in here. I think the show is built around Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns has carried the show on his back. I mean, like, flat out. We all know how great he has been as a heel. I don't see him anytime soon giving that spot up and turning back babyface. That would be a huge fatal mistake. I'm loving what they're doing with Roman Reigns and the whole putting the food on the table and I'm the one who feeds your family. I'm going to take it off. It's all brilliant stuff. It's great. Loving how they've built Roman Reigns. You know, here's the other thing with the referees, with Rude and Ziggler losing to the Street Profits for the SmackDown championships, they were yelling at the referee after the match, and the referee said, "Do you want to be suspended? I'll suspend you." Wait a minute. the referees suddenly have the authority to suspend people? They're not management. They're essentially just a co-worker. So, and actually, on the totem pole of things, wouldn't they actually be below the wrestlers? Right? I know that they're the ones calling the match. They're technically a WWE official, but they're not management. They don't have management powers. They may be labeled as a WWE official, but they're not a WWE official in the same way that Adam Pearce is labeled as a WWE official. So Charles Robinson, if you don't know what I'm talking about, was yelling back at the Street Profits this past week, you know, getting back in their faces, saying that, you know, do you want to be suspended? Do you want to be suspended? Since when is yelling at a referee an offense that could be punished by suspension? Since when is that a thing? Boy, you might want to just basically suspend the roster who yells at referees. I mean, especially the heels who yell at referees during almost every match they have. So I don't know. It was kind of weird. The announcers also this past week labeled Bianca Belair as an upstart, like up and coming. But she's been here for 4 years. She's with NXT. She signed with NXT in April of 2016. So actually, she's coming up on almost 5 years of being with WWE, but apparently what happens in NXT is completely irrelevant when they bring these stars up because Vince feels that everyone who watch, most people who watch Raw and SmackDown exclusively don't watch NXT nor care to know or do know what happened in NXT, and they think that everyone brought up is basically starting from ground zero and they know nothing about those people coming up from NXT. Did I make it clear enough? I hope so, because I mean that tells you everything you need to know with the announcers. That being Michael Cole and Corey Graves calling her an upstart. How is a five-year veteran an upstart? That's hardly an upstart. And if NXT is truly a third brand, as they have billed it to be, well, then you can't say that SmackDown and Raw are the big leagues when NXT is supposed to be this third brand legitimately, and it is. So you can't have it both ways. I mean, it's just when they label her as an upstart, I'm like, what are you talking about? Bianca Belair is not an upstart. I don't know. It just tells you everything you need to know about what Vince feels NXT is. It's kind of this just other brand that's there, and we use it as a feeding system to our real main roster. You can tell that's everything you need to know right there. By the way, the Street Profits used the tights to win and pin Dolph Ziggler. Was it Ziggler or Rude? I don't remember. Doesn't really matter. But the point is, the Street Profits used the tights to win. You may say, well, they tried to use the tights on them the move before, and it was just tit for tat. Well, they're baby faces, so shouldn't you always want to do the right thing? Or are there shades of gray? I mean, I don't know. I think the Street Profits using the tights to retain their championships, regardless of how or why you did it, you still did it. That's a heel move. Further cementing my thought that this team should be heel. I'm not even going to get into the whole personalities. You guys know I have destroyed why I do not like their personalities. And again, I don't care about skin color. I can mention many white people on the roster that I cannot stand their personalities. Otis, Miz, Morrison, just to name a few. Cannot stand it. Can't stand it. Nothing to do with a culture. Everything to do with just your individual personality. Can't stand any of those three. It's just bad. So, but nonetheless, this it was a heel move. I didn't really understand why, but okay, all right. So, guys, big show tomorrow night. Big show with the Botch guy. By the way, go subscribe on YouTube for God's sakes. Go to YouTube. The guy's got merch. Great merch, by the way. And he's not paying me to say this. Okay, this is me just freely speaking about his channel. Very well done. He's got a great reaction video to The Rock being on Talking Smack. Really funny. Really good. He puts on videos almost daily and does reactionary, of course, botches, yes, but also big news and things that happen. Just a true wrestling fan through and through. He will be here joining us late tomorrow night after the pay-per-view ends. I'm on the East Coast, so it'll end about 10:30 at night. We'll probably start recording around 11:30 or so and then go into the early morning hours of Monday morning. So we will be having a review show for TLC right here with the Botch guy. Again, hit him up on YouTube, hit that subscribe button for him, and support his channel. but certainly it'll be a fun show. He's always high energy, and it'll be a great addition to our lineup here on pay-per-views, as he has been over the last several months. So really looking forward to that as we get closer to pay-per-view, which is tomorrow night. And then Tuesday is back to your regularly scheduled Raw, SmackDown review, and everything else that that happens. And, of course, Mimi's highs and lows of the week, which should be on our feed in the next day or so as well. So that'll be coming to you probably before the pay-per-view. Alrighty, well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this. I know I did. Ashley is back and better than ever as we cover WWE TLC 2020 preview and predictions. As always, guys, I'll talk to you next time. Alrighty, and welcome back. And right now, I have got with me the long-lost co-host of the WWE podcast, Ashley Mann, who is back with us. Really excited to have her back on the show tonight to discuss TLC, maybe some other things related to WWE that aren't exactly focused on TLC. And, of course, I know you guys missed her. I missed her. It's great to have you back. How you doing, Ashley?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me back. It feels like forever, and at least a year, it feels like, for sure. But I'm just so happy to be back and happy to be talking wrestling and to close the year out with you. This year is finally coming to an end. It's just kind of crazy to think back and like where we began with, you know, the Royal Rumble and everything, and just how we're ending up now. So just a crazy year, but I'm so happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And in pandemic time, it does feel even longer. Like you said, everything is just magnified in terms of the length of time to get from week to week, month to month. But yeah, unbelievably, we're already getting closer to WrestleMania season. It feels like we just wrapped up this year's WrestleMania with COVID and the whole part one, part two of WrestleMania. And here we are about 3 weeks out of WrestleMania season starting again with really, I look at it as January 1st. I know the Rumble is the true start of the road, but you're focusing on the Rumble on the road to WrestleMania. So it's crazy, right? Like, we're only a few weeks away from WrestleMania season.
It's so weird to think that the Royal Rumble is coming up next month, because especially now in the circumstances that we're still in, what it's going to look like and how it's going to feel, and is it still going to carry the same impact and the same, that same emotion, that same feeling that we're used to each year. Of course, there's nothing that's going to top last year, at least for this year that I can foresee, but it's just exciting, you know. Even though we are in crazy times, I still am. There's something about knowing WrestleMania season is right around the corner that just kind of forces you to get ready, you know?
It does. And we all know that, I mean, especially if you've been a longtime wrestling fan, that November, December, particularly December, are the creative slumbers of WWE, where it's kind of like wrapping up the year. WWE doesn't exactly usually put its best foot forward. It's been just typically a creative, like, slump that they go into every December, and we haven't had exactly, in my estimation, some of the greatest SmackDowns over the last few weeks have, you know, kind of hit and miss. But the bar to me every December, I don't know about you, I set it a little bit lower because it's not WrestleMania season yet. They know that there's still NFL going on with the playoffs right around the corner in the NFL, the holidays. There's just a lot in December that it seems, for whatever reason, WWE just kind of takes the month off typically.
Yeah, and I think if any show has felt it more than the other, in my opinion, it's been Raw. Raw is just, it's dreadful, man. And I'm sure we'll get further into it as we do our predictions. But I hate to be negative and I hate to be down on it, but I just, what was that commercial? It must be Monday. When it's 8 o'clock and I realize it's Raw, I'm like, oh crap. Like it's Monday. Like here, I gotta, you know, here comes Raw. And for me to say that, it hurts my heart. And I try to look for the good in it. And there's a few, like, don't get me wrong, like the whole thing isn't horrible, but man, it's just like, sometimes I'm like, are they trying to be bad? Like, are they just trying? Like, are they laughing at us watching them? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it invokes so many feelings and thoughts for me. But yeah, like I said, I'm sure we'll get into it. But so I try to keep that in mind as well right now, right? Like, especially, like we said, with everything else, and it's December and like sports are on at weird times right now. Basketball is back. So there is a lot going on, but I don't know. It's like, how far do you let it go before you just like stop, like before it's obvious that you're not really putting forth the effort, right? To like your cable provider and things like that. So Well, it's weird.
From what I understand, USA Network actually told them that they want some, and I didn't read the whole thing. I just read the tagline. So, my bad for not reading the entire article, but USA Network actually told WWE to implement some kind of adult content into their program to try to get the more core audience back because the record low ratings. So I don't exactly know what that adult content is, but with the record low ratings, you can bet that WWE is under the gun to put, bring those back up. And if you remember, I think it was 2 years ago. I want to say last year, but I think it was 2 years ago when the McMahons and Triple H all came out and they're like, we're going to give you what you want. New matchups, all this stuff that really never really came to pass. It was, I think, looking back, kind of more lip service than anything else. And that was in December. So, I mean, this is not typically a great month for WWE. So let me ask you this, though. What specifically, without going into crazy detail, but what are some of the big things on Raw you're just like, man, this is bad, right? Like, I just can't do it. Because as a wrestling fan, you want to look forward to Monday night. You want to look forward to Friday night. And when it feels like a task, and I totally understand what you're saying, you're like, oh, that's right, Monday, I got to watch it. That's not good when you feel like you have to rather than you want to. So what are some of the big things going on Raw that really irritate you so much?
Oh, man. So... and it's going to sound like I'm going to name off a lot really quick. And when I say them, I don't mean everything about them specifically is horrible, but it's just each week. Like, so for instance, like Matt Riddle, like I was a big fan of Matt Riddle.
No, NXT.
yes, I apologize. Riddle.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of Riddle in NXT. And I had high hopes for him on the SmackDown brand. I just felt like, give him a year, he could have gone through, had like a nice IC title run, or at least, been in the contention for that, and just really built him up as this tough character, and just really built him as like a main event player. And to see him walking around with bro nuts and just being a goof and just like not taking anything seriously, it's frustrating, and I'm not saying that I need him to be Brock Lesnar serious, right? But he can still have his personality. I feel like in NXT, he was the perfect medium for someone like him. I felt like we got just enough of who Riddle is as a human being and who he wants that character to be. But when he got in the ring, it was go time, and it was serious. And no matter who he was in there, whether it was Velveteen Dream or Timothy Thatcher, like, he could give you a solid match. And things like that, for me, stand out more than like stupid comedy segments or stuff like the dirt sheet with Miz and Morrison, which don't get me wrong, like when that starts off and like when Monday your go home show starts off with Miz reading a story and like it like AJ's just waiting there in the corner, like it's too cute, it's just too scripted, it's too much. Like I just sometimes like want to shake the show and just like be like, loosen up, like I don't care if every promo was scripted, but like don't make me feel like it is. And that's just like the general consensus for me going forward. It's just like you have your characters like your Kevin Owens who can kind of make you believe that what he's saying is true, whether it was written for him word for word. But then like you have someone like AJ Styles where you know the potential and just who AJ Styles was as a character, as a wrestler coming into WWE and even on SmackDown. It's just whatever happens on Raw, it's just like no one is taken seriously unless you're the champion or Randy Orton. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, that's what's killing it for me. Like, I want to take them seriously, but I can't.
Oh, my God.
It's just frustrating.
No. And in the interest of time, I could talk about Raw and its problems, and really SmackDown and its problems, outside of Roman Reigns, who's doing an absolutely freaking brilliant job and is the backbone of that show carrying. He's almost carrying WWE in total, both brands, on his back right now of how awesome Roman Reigns is. We all knew how great he could be as a heel, and he's showing us how good he could be. I'm very interested to hear when he gets back in front of a live audience how much heat he has, or if the fans are actually going to cheer him. I don't think they're going to cheer him. I think they are going to boo him because he's so damn good. But just quickly on your Raw points, because I do want to get to TLC, Yes, Matt Riddle, and I have been talking about this forever. I mean, we can call him Matt Riddle on the show. I don't understand WWE's fascination with eliminating names like Andrade San Almas. Yeah, I know. I don't understand. What's wrong with the first name here? Come on, maybe I'm a little biased, but I don't see anything wrong with the first name Matt Riddle. But hey, Matt Riddle is a guy that we all know how great he is in the ring, and that is his saving grace right now, is that he is the one who's in control of what he does in the ring, and fortunately not Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon has a lot of creative control over the characters, over exactly what they say. And for whatever reason, when Vince sees a character that could possibly do comedy, what does he do? He takes them and just drives that into the ground. And he did that with Otis. And look what's happened to Otis, along many, many others. And Matt Riddle is this dude that, like, I'm very unattached to him. I do not find his character appealing at all. And I don't know what it is, if it's the just the too cool for school kind of pothead surfer dude, kind of frat boy all mixed together. I don't know what it is. It's that off-putting big time for me. Maybe that's my own personal problems with those types of personalities. I don't know. But Matt Riddle is amazing in the ring. They're destroying him behind the scenes with all his stupid nicknames like Fireface, all these things that are, I mean, they're, you talk about sophomoric. It's not even sophomoric. It's just like child. Like my 2-year-old son could probably come up with a better insult or nickname. I mean, it's embarrassing. Like, I feel embarrassed watching that. Like, secondhand embarrassment is what's happening. And I don't want to feel embarrassed. I'm watching the product. And, yeah.
You're embarrassed for yourself.
Yeah. Isn't it weird? You know? Like, it's one of those things that, like, imagine someone sitting with you. You're trying to get them into wrestling and something like this comes on. How embarrassed would you be? It would be awful.
And then try to explain it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Think about it on Monday. Like, as I was watching the opening segment really quick, I know we had to move on.
Yep.
But just sitting there, like, try to explain the Miz. Like, why is there a briefcase? Okay, what's the briefcase for? Okay, so you explain that, and then you're as you're explaining it, they're like, well, wait, so this guy can potentially challenge Drew McIntyre at any time? But he's sitting here reading a story about a match that he's not even involved in. And yeah, I get it. He can, you know, potentially cash in, and that's kind of the whole point. But it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to give it to him, at least make him somewhat resemble The Miz from, what was it, 2016, who had some type of credibility still to him. It's just like, it's frustrating. And that kind of plays into it. Because then, in the same token, too, like, I feel like I'm watching the same thing every week that I'm not really enjoying in the grand scheme, you know? And it's just one of those things. Like, how do you explain it?
My God, you can't. And it's, I don't even know if I'd want to, because I don't think they know how to explain it. Like, The Miz and Morrison, and I agree with The Miz's character back in 2016, who I thought really was starting to progress and evolve from just kind of that, the real world Mike Mizanin that never really seemed to be able to shake that from his on-air personality. And I still think that there is part of that still living in him that just will not go away. The Miz is almost kind of retrograded back to prior 2016, back now with
the character Miz, like the show host Miz, like not the chick magnet per se, though, like corniness days, but not far from it, you know. And it's sad.
It's not good.
You need stars.
Exactly. And Morrison is no better. Morrison's just awkward on the mic. He's always been really weird on the mic. He can never, I don't know, his, the way he speaks, his tone, his cadence, he's never just been good at a promo. But now you just get him into this goofy crap, you know, playing, what was he, an Irishman, or play Braveheart this past Monday night. Like, and Sheamus comes out and he calls it what it was, because I think WWE knows that this is going to be terrible. So Sheamus is going to be the guy to call it community theater, because that's what I would have called it. But it doesn't make it better that you're acknowledging what you're doing is terrible. Like, exactly. Just because you own it doesn't make it better. It actually would make it worse, acknowledging the fact that you know you're putting a crap product out there. It's so bad. It's not like I even want to see anybody beat up Miz and Morrison. I don't care. They have no heat to me. They are channel changing. That's not the kind of heat you want. I groan. How many times? I don't need to see Monday Night Raw with opening with Miz TV or the Dirt Sheet. I don't know why we need to have a Dirt Sheet or Miz TV every single Monday night and have Miz and Morrison in multiple segments. To me, Miz and Morrison really embody almost everything wrong with WWE's product right now, especially when, like you said, he's the Money in the Bank briefcase holder and he's sitting there reading a child's book based on a Christmas story that is, you know, trying to relate to TLC. It's bad. It's bad. It's groan-inducing. I have no idea what audience they're even trying to reach anymore. You can't tell me kids enjoy this because I don't even think there's a whole lot of kids sitting there going, you know, Mom, oh, isn't this funny? No. I don't know. So I'm going to take up any final thoughts before we go off the rails on this.
No. Well, yes, really quick, just because you brought up like the last point that I was going to make to it in its entirety, which kind of leads to, in my opinion, why the issue and my concern long term is, who are you trying to attract, right? For me, like, I'm so thankful, like, I feel old some days, right? But I'm so thankful I was born and I grew up during the era that I did, because I can't imagine, like, wanting to be, like, if coming in as a new fan and wanting to like wrestling and seeing WWE and seeing Raw and SmackDown on TV. And, you know, just leaving NXT and AEW to the side, but those are your flagship shows on the number one or the number one wrestling brand. And who are you going for? Are you going for someone my age, you know, mid early 30s? Who are you going for, in the 50s, or like your older audience who is just barely holding on from the Attitude days? It's just like, how do you really expect to attract a new audience and grow your show when consistency alone, like, to the side, it's just, who were, like, that opening segment, it's just like, who are you going for? And that's just, that's what's frustrating and alarming for me, because, like, I want wrestling to be cool, right, quote unquote, like, I want people to enjoy it, and I don't want it to be a laughingstock, you know? And it's just, sometimes I'm just like, why am I even watching this? And it's sad, because I love wrestling, obviously, we're sitting here talking about it, you know?
And I mean, we can sit here and we can complain about everything we want, but at the end of the day, WWE knows that we are the fans that are still going to be there.
We're part of that million, little plus.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, you're right. That I don't know if they know what audience they're going for. Vince McMahon has said many times that they have a little something for everyone, that they're not just serving one audience. Well, the problem with serving, well, you know, many masters is that when you serve like many people, you're serving nobody, right? Like, you have to find a focused demographic, and I don't think they have it defined. They're just like, oh, we're everything for everyone. Well, when you do everything for everyone, you're not good at anything. You're just okay at a bunch of stuff. So you need, they don't have a specialization. They just try to reach the broadest audience and cast the widest net, which logically you're like, oh yeah, maybe that'll reach the most people, but it actually doesn't. It doesn't, because you're not really good to great at anything. You're just doing little bits of things that you think you're okay at to try to reach a bunch of people. It's a really backwards way to think. I understand why they think that, but I don't know. It's amateur hour on Monday Night Raw right now. Outside of a couple of spotlights, I'm with you. So, all right, let's get into TLC, because this is a card that really, you know, for the final pay-per-view of 2020, which feels so good to say, I look at this and I'm like, all right, let me count the matches. And I'm on WWE.com, so I'm going on the most up-to-date matches that you would assume are on the website itself. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches on the card, so that's about average for a B pay-per-view. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, some of these really seem locks. Others I wouldn't even touch if I had money on them. So I'm going to start at the bottom of the card here. I'm going to start with the Raw Tag Team Championship. The New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. What do you think?
I feel like you have to go Hurt Business here, right? Like, if you don't, then who else do you really have on Raw right now? And that kind of plays into what we were referencing earlier, but just like the lack of stars and just like the need for just main event talent and or that feeling for star power again. So, and granted, like we were saying, you know, Raw has a lot of negative points. I feel like the Hurt Business, for the most part, and in the grand scheme of everything within the past few months, has been a high point. I really enjoyed the group, I think, and I love the look, the feel, the group. Like, they're one of the ones that I wish that creative would have focused more on and just focused on building up and just having them just run through everyone and just maybe not be undefeated or anything like that, but just have like a solid push and a solid run behind them. I think it's going to be a really solid match, and I think the New Day is going to probably get the best match out of Cedric and Benjamin that we've seen in a long time. And I really love them too as a tag team also. But I think here you have to go Hurt Business just to keep things fresh and keep things moving, even if you do go back to a rematch, but you just have to change it up a bit.
So, first of all, I'm going to say right off the bat, without keeping people in suspense, yeah, I think that Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are probably going to capture the Raw Tag Team Championships. New Day hasn't needed a tag team championship in about 5 years to help them grow. I mean, they don't need a tag team championship on either brand. They're a made team. In fact, you could argue that they are an overplayed, overexposed team that should have probably died off a while ago, but they got great chemistry. The quality of the match, I expect to be A+. I really do. They have wrestled many times before, and every time they wrestle, it brings me in. Even if they don't have a backstory, they seem to bring me in every single time, and they just do a magnificent job in the ring together, telling a story really from scratch, which, yeah, there's a little bit of a backstory here, but there's not a whole lot of emotional investment going into this. It's just kind of two teams that you know are going to work well. It's a solid, easy plug-and-play match that you know is going to be really good, and that's exactly what I expect here. Funnily enough, when we just talked about off-air about how when we see typos on websites and things, WWE.com right now, as I'm reading this match, has a typo saying, and I had to correct myself before I read this. So they say for the Raw Tag Team Champions match, first of all, it's the Raw Tag Team Championship match, not Champions match. Secondly, they say The New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander on the Hurt Business instead of the Hurt Business. So two typos in a single match description. So how about that for WWE.com? They have two big typos.
Oh my gosh. I'm done. See, I can't even continue. I can't even read the rest of the card.
Show over. I mean, it's just like, it's insane. It's done. Oh, good grief.
Oh my gosh. So how does that get by?
What's that?
Oh, my God. How does stuff like that get by?
I don't know. It's simple. It's WWE. I have no idea. I mean, I told you. They just take a slumber in December. They just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're, I don't know. I have an intern doing this stuff. I totally agree on that. I think we're on the same page with it's time to probably just change it up. I think the Hurt Business is overachieving maybe what they originally thought. I'm a big fan of MVP, big fan of Lashley when he's not on the mic and pouring milk on himself on Monday Night Raw. I think it's time to bring a little bit more gold to the Hurt Business and have them join Lashley in that.
Absolutely.
Women's Tag Team Championship match. Let's see if I see any typos. I don't. Okay. Now I'm going to be looking. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka and a partner of her choosing, which that's weird that they say that, isn't it? Oh, wait, no, because Lana got, in quote, injured. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retain? Because we don't know who Asuka's going to choose. It could be a limping Lana out there or somebody else. But what are your thoughts?
I don't really have high hopes for the mystery partner. I think if it's not, I have a weird feeling that it's still going to be Lana. If not Lana, I feel like it's just going to be like Charlotte, which it'll be good to see her back, I guess. But I don't really think it's going to be anyone that we haven't seen in years or like anyone too surprising. So therefore, I don't see Asuka and whoever her partner is winning the titles. And I don't really think they should right now. I think Asuka needs to focus on being the champion and defending the title and having solid competitors for her own title right now. And I think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler can move on to the Riot Squad on SmackDown and just kind of just go down there and just get away from Raw for a little bit. And then Lana can end up doing whatever. It's sad because like all this time that we've invested into this and it's just like she's not even advertised to be at the pay-per-view. which should be the payoff, right? So it's just weird. And that's why I'm like, okay, like maybe it is going to be her. So it's like maybe that's supposed to make us even happier to see her because she overcame whatever injury and, you know, she was supposed to be here, all that. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a fine match because the three out of the four can carry the match pretty well, I guess. 2.5 can carry the match pretty well. So we'll see. We'll see, but I'm just ready for this to kind of wrap up. That's why I see Nia Jax and Shayna retaining. Just kind of having them move on.
Yeah, I think it is time, and you know, I've said many times in the show in the past that, like, with Lana, I really despised her character from the Bobby Lashley incident and really before that, and her being so obnoxious and so cocky and so arrogant and so egotistical, to all of a sudden they just bam, on a dime, flip her into this shy, quiet schoolgirl that it's like her first day at school and she's trying to make friends with the cool girls. I mean, they have literally done a 180 with her character. And you know what? It sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm really not. This is a small bright spot for me, only because they were actually able, from my perspective, to change her from this crazy egotistical maniac to this sympathetic character. In a way, I'll give them partial credit. I'm not going to give them a passing grade. I'll give them partial credit on this because of the fact that they were actually able to get some success out of it. But it's almost gotten to the pitiful part. Like, it's gotten not just sympathy for Lana, it's almost pitiful, which is they've kind of gone too far with her kind of her being demanded at Survivor Series to stand on the steps with, I mean, like, how old are we, right? Like, you're a woman making 6-7 figures and you're told to stand there like a child and you're just okay with
and
it.
Doing it
makes
the whole
me time. Yeah. Like, And then the announcers actually have the gall to talk about how she was the sole survivor with, oh yeah, by the way, she didn't compete in the match at all. I mean, so back to the match. I think that, yes, this to me is almost a shoo-in. When I look at the matches on the card, this is one of the ones that I would feel comfortable putting some money down on, that Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retain, because even if Asuka and, say, Lana is the actual mystery partner, she limps out and she's showing how gutsy she is. I think that Asuka and whoever it is lose, because Asuka right now is lost in the women's division. And that's insane to say, given she's the women's champion for Raw. They just haven't, I don't think, found anybody worthy of her championship at this point, or they just don't have the faith in anybody to, or they, which is my theory, they have just waited for Charlotte to return. I think that's what they've been doing, is having Asuka sit, spin her wheels, not do a whole lot, occasionally, you know, be in a match, whatever, and then, oh wait, let's just wait till Charlotte comes back. And if it is Asuka and Charlotte, I still don't think that they're going to capture the women's championship, tag team championship. So Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retain. I mean, I really feel very confident in that. So, okay. Firefly Inferno match. The Fiend versus Randy Orton. I'm going to take this one first. This is the one that I have the most problem with, the most confusion with, because this is their first encounter in, you know, what, 3 years, 4 years since WrestleMania 33, when Bray Wyatt had the ability to put scary images on the ring mat. And I was there for it in Orlando. It was just kind of bizarre and weird that Randy Orton would be scared of a hologram that, I don't know. But we had this match, and given it's their first match, given how hot Randy Orton, he's not as hot as he was, but he still is a really good heel. And given that Edge is somewhat close to on his way back, you would think that Randy Orton should go over here being really strong going into whenever Edge returns in, you know, several weeks. I'll leave it at that. But the problem is it's Bray Wyatt, who hasn't gone over for anybody unless your name is Goldberg. I really don't know how this ends. It's a Firefly Inferno match. Does that mean that, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, somebody has to light somebody else on fire? Is that how this ends?
That would be my understanding. So, and that's kind of why I'm interested to see how, like, the look of it too. And that's why, like you said, this is one of the more difficult ones to kind of make a prediction on, because it's so unknown. So, like, first of all, are they going to be, like, backstage wherever the Firefly Funhouse is? Should I maybe just assume that? Or is it just going to be the ring and just, like, maybe, like, the screens are going to have it, like, it have the ambiance of the Firefly Funhouse, but the ring itself is still going to look like a regular Inferno match? So, I don't know, but to me, it would be kind of obvious to see who's going to win the second Randy Orton comes out, because it's like, what is he wearing? Because it's obvious, like, if that is the goal, you have to set him on fire. Like, if Randy comes out in his normal ring gear, then obviously, unless it's his boot, like, he's not really going to be lit on fire. Right. Poor, I hate to say it, you know, for the Fiend, but yeah, because it's always predictable, right? Like, if it's your match, you kind of lose. Like, Kane would always lose. So it's just, I don't know. But yeah, not to kind of take over your prediction part there, but it's weird to predict, because it's a Firefly Inferno match, so it's just so bizarre.
I I still haven't even made a call here. I have been back and forth on this. Here's what I'm thinking. Since this match doesn't require anyone to be pinned or submitted to win or to lose, depending on how you're looking at it, I'm going to go with Randy Orton winning this. But again, the protection here is that Bray Wyatt doesn't have to get pinned or submitted to lose. So is it really a loss, right? Like, it's one of those special stipulations. Okay, right. The Fiend got set on fire. He didn't get pinned or submitted, so he still kind of maintains his aura. It's not like he cleanly lost in a normal match. I'm going to say Randy Orton wins this one. The Fiend gets lit on fire, but he's still standing there. You know, I could see the lasting image of this, wherever the hell this takes place, whether it's a cinematic match or it's some kind of backstage live match that they do in a funhouse. I think the lasting image is the Fiend set on fire, but then standing there staring at Randy Orton, no selling him being lit on fire. Like, he is impenetrable even to fire. Like, that's what I'm thinking the lasting image is. Okay, Randy Orton won, but did he really win? That's my thinking. What about you?
You kind of took it right out of my mouth, because that was exactly what I was going to say. If the Fiend loses, I can see him being lit on fire, in, like, for instance, like his arm or something, and just literally standing there and not selling it at all. So, yes, technically he loses, but did he really lose? Because he's not even affected by it. So...
Yep.
I agree with you. I'm kind of going that route, because then again, it'll kind of set up for a rematch if they need that as well, for instance, like the Royal Rumble or something. But I don't know. Like, how are you feeling going into this match, having this version of Bray Wyatt and Randy? Do you have higher hopes for this type of match?
I think, I mean, again, this is kind of like the house. Didn't they have a House of Horrors match in like the middle of the forest one time? I mean, yeah. I think they did it.
And that's where he burned his, that was Sister Abigail's
house?
Yes,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So, exactly. So, these two have a history of, I mean, they had a straight-up match, I guess, quote, straight-up match at WrestleMania 33, and Randy Orton beat him there. This is, from a wrestling perspective, storyline perspective, you know, they haven't had a ton of physicality up until this past week with what we saw what happened. Randy Orton lit the casket on fire, and then the Fiend popped out and then put him in the mandible claw, which I will say this. I don't understand how the mandible claw, which is a fairly easy move to counter, is the most devastating move that he has, because somebody's facing you with their arm, their hand in your mouth. You have several options. Kick them in, you know, below the belt. You know, you could start punching them, but instead everyone just gets paralyzed by, you know, him in his, you know, your fingers down your throat. To me, it's the most, one of the most easy moves. It, you know, if you were attacked that way, that you could have some kind of retribution. Nonetheless,
it's kind of like the ideal setting, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be attacked, like you're facing your attacker,
like
you know
face.
Exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you have so
and
many
you have
options.
All of, you have access to all of your limbs.
Yeah.
It's not, none
yeah.
of them are tied down. It makes no sense to yeah. me. How nobody yeah. has even tried to come out of that. Nonetheless, this is where pro wrestling world has to come into play, or we'll just talk ourselves out of believability, is that, you know, this story, I like how they're actually pulling on the past, right? Like, I'm glad they didn't ignore of what Randy Orton did 3-4 years ago, whatever it was. I'm glad they brought that back, and I like how they're consistent with the Fiend attacking those who did him wrong in the past. That, I'm very glad they've kept the integrity of that. Everyone he's attacked, for the most part, has been somebody in his past that has done him wrong. The other thing they've been consistent with every story Wyatt has been involved in, is that he has changed everybody that he's been in the ring with. So that begs to ask the question, if he's able to change Randy Orton, what happens to Randy Orton? He's already a heel. They can't change him from good to bad. He's already really bad. So does it get a darker Randy Orton, or does Randy Orton just come out the same after this whole match and program is over?
And that was the other thing, too. It's like, is Randy Orton going to be one of the only ones who doesn't change? And if he does, like, because I don't even honestly know what that would look like, because Randy's character now, and has been for quite some time, you know, already that he hears voices or whatever. So how, I mean, and maybe they could use this as what USA Network is supposedly looking for, right? Like going darker, like a more adult content. Maybe if he does lose to The Fiend, maybe, and if they're looking to have Randy Orton go darker, maybe that's one of the characters who could. Have no idea what that would look like again, but that could be something. I don't know. I would definitely be here for it because I think Randy is good when he's, like, fully involved and fully, like, enthralled in the storyline. I think he's really good, and he has been, for the most part, 2020, one of the things that has saved Raw and made Raw enjoyable, regardless of who he's been involved with. So, especially if Edge isn't coming back for a little while longer, I think you might as well play this out. So keep it fresh and dig in deep and see how many layers there really could be to Randy Orton.
Agreed. I think Randy Orton, maybe we haven't seen everything from him over his 15-plus year career. Maybe there is something darker, deeper, and more sadistic in him than we know. I just don't know what that looks like, given the fact that I feel like he's done almost everything you can do. And like you said, maybe he's the one that doesn't come out changed, but is that worth, you know, going against the integrity of what they've done with The Fiend and how consistent they've been with who he's attacked and why, and the fact that he's changed everyone he's been in the ring with? Do they use Randy Orton? Do they finally break that cycle with Randy Orton? Because, well, hell, he's Randy Orton. You know, he's already got, like you said, voices in his head. Maybe they don't do anything. Maybe he just comes out the same exact way. But we all know Edge is looming. It's a matter of where is Edge? When is he coming back? People are looking at the Rumble. And my fantasy prediction of that would be, or my fantasy booking would be very simple. You have Randy Orton in the Rumble. You have him dominating. You have RKO, he eliminates, you know, several people, and the next one out, that, you know, maybe at number 21 again, is Edge, and Randy Orton is beside himself, and they eliminate each other, leading to a WrestleMania 37 I Quit match, which, you know, it was reported been an I Quit, but apparently that's kind of changed back and forth. You know, again, I hope that there's fans, at least in limited attendance in Tropicana Field. I know that the critically acclaimed and universally beloved the Thunderdome that WWE just loves to let us know how much it's loved is certainly better than what it was in the Performance Center. But I still want fans there to count down. I know they'll pump in crowd noise, but man, oh man, do you see any possibility or have you heard anything about actual live attendance, even in a very limited capacity in Tropicana Field?
Yeah, no, probably just everything that you have heard as well, that Vince, you know, I mean, and who doesn't, right? Like, it's not groundbreaking news, that he wants at least 15 plus to be there, regardless if they're spaced out or not. And I know just from being involved in, like, the Thunderdome experience this past Raw, which was so weird.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw it. That's great. Yes.
Yeah. It was, it's so wild, right? Because the producer's, like, it's true. Like, the producer is there, like, counting down, like, all right, we're about to go to commercial. We're coming back from commercial. And then they're like, all right, be excited. And they're like, all right, here comes, for instance, like, Kofi Kingston and New Day. Like, so they pretty much do tell you who to cheer for. So it's just weird. But, like, and you can kind of hear, like, a little bit of, like, excitement, which I'm assuming is, like, other people in there as well, but it's just so weird, because, and then it's, you're too, right, especially, like, if you're in an apartment, like, you can't be but so loud, but they want you to be as loud as possible, so you can't be, like, screaming, right, so it's just, it's, I appreciate it, you know, and like you said, I am not complaining at all. It's 100 times better than the Performance Center, mm-hmm, with no one there, like, mm-hmm, I am not complaining at all, and I like how it looks now, you know, at the stadium store, so it's, I'm here for it, and you know, if fans can be there, then you want to be there, then go for it. Like, I'll appreciate you being there. Thank you for taking one for the team. You know, if all of us can't be there, but yeah, man, you know, it's just one of those things. But I don't know. I think the Royal Rumble is just one of those shows, though, that's really gonna feel it if the fans can't be there in any type of capacity. But even if it's like limited, like NXT, like how they've done. So I don't know that. Part has always just been interesting to me, how there's limited people there for NXT, but not Raw or SmackDown yet.
Yeah, I think that as much as we, the fans, talk about how much we miss fans being there, I really think that we have to look at it from the wrestler's perspective too, because they're the ones who make a living off of fans being there in terms of growing their character, getting a reaction, you know, they live for that reaction. They're there for fans who are no longer there. we're the ones that love going and we love contributing. But I think it's even tougher on the actual wrestlers themselves having to go out there and not be able to react and generate a reaction that you live for, you know, but look, I think we are closer, much closer than we were. We're already 9 months into this thing, hopefully over the next 3 to 6. And I'm thinking maybe WrestleMania, if we've seen nobody at Rumble, it'll be awful in terms of, or tough in terms of not being able to.
Yeah, I'm not set on the Rumble, honestly. Yeah, I don't have high hopes for the Rumble.
I'm more looking at WrestleMania, and I'm looking more towards WrestleMania of probably not being in L.A. California is exploding with COVID. L.A. is a big hotspot. Not going to happen in L.A. So that
Florida, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. That's the thing is, too, they're in a state that is pretty damn liberal in terms of letting them be able to, you know, in terms of restrictions. I know a lot of the bars and stuff down there and restaurants are kind of like very loosey-goosey with masks. People living there and touring there are very loosey-goosey. And I mean, it is what it is down there. I mean, I'm not going to get into political, whether it's good or bad or
It just is what it is in Florida.
And they're in a great state to be able to finally bring fans back. And in Tropicana Field, you're already in a stadium. I think WrestleMania is going to take place in Tropicana Field. And like you said, I think it holds, 50,000 people, 60,000 people, something around there. And even if they're able to fill it 25%. At that time, you know, even for WrestleMania, if you're able to fill it 25%, I think that's where I'm really looking for is end of March, early April, whenever WrestleMania is this year. That's what I think is like, okay, the vaccine's been out for, 4 months now. You know, maybe there's enough of a reason to possibly go back to limited fans, still socially distanced, wear your masks, all that fun stuff. But to me, I'm looking for WrestleMania. Okay, let's keep going here and get into the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Sasha Banks versus Carmella. Oh, boy. To me, this one's not as easy as it sounds, but you go ahead first.
Yeah, to me, I think they stick with Sasha on this one. But this one for me, personally, like, I'm just so bummed with how the direction of the Sasha's character has been portrayed since she's become champion. I just had such higher hopes, regardless if she was going to be a heel or face or whatever direction. I just thought that she was going to embrace it, and it was going to be her show. She was just going to take over for that, not even the division, but just have that presence. And I guess in a way she does, but just not what I was expecting. You know, say what you want about Bayley and a lot of people. I feel like Bayley, her heel run has been one of those whether either you were really into it or you just were not here for it. And I was really into it. I've always been a fan of Bayley, and I think she really grew into that version of her, and she still is now. But I think they just maybe it was a result of not really having that solid story behind why her and Bayley split, besides Bayley just turning on her. Maybe that had something to do with it because that she just didn't get that momentum as the character going forward. But don't get me wrong, Sasha is still a bright point to me on SmackDown, but I think it could have been so much more, and I think that's kind of why I'm just not really as excited as I want to be for her run right now. But I think she beats Carmella here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Carmella won, just to kind of shake things up or whatever. And especially since Carmella just went through that recent character turn, I guess, in a different direction as well. But I think it'll be a fine match. I think it'll be, it is what it is, a good 10-12 minute match. But I don't. That's the thing. I don't really know where Sasha would go after this either. So kind of up in the air with this one. But I'm gonna go with Sasha. What about you?
Just to be a little different, and I do truly feel this, I'm going to go Carmella on this. Yeah. Now, this one's not easy, because on paper you're like, oh, well, Carmella's been getting the upper hand over the last couple weeks. Sasha Banks just won the championship, a month or so ago, a month and a half ago, whatever it was, and why wouldn't Sasha Banks continue? Well, I'll tell you why she may not continue. Number one, they got past the whole Sasha can't defend her championship. She did it. Now that monkey's off her back. So if she loses it, it wasn't in her first defense. So that is gone. Number two, as you just said, I don't think they've done a great job with the Sasha Banks character at all. And I'm a big fan of Sasha Banks. I like her look. I like her in-ring. Her in-ring is really good. Her promos are hit and miss for me. And I say that because it's not like she's Roman Reigns' babyface bad in that way. I just don't think that they ever made that full turn to her being a babyface. She's just still the heel. She's still a heel. There's never been that moment where Sasha Banks has said to us, you know, I've seen the light, you know, I was with Bayley, and but, you know, I knew better. Like, we never got that. It was just she got turned on by Bayley. She wasn't smart enough to see it coming, so what, we're supposed to have sympathy because you weren't smart enough to see Bayley was going to turn on you? And then she kept the arrogance. She kept the, well, I'm the boss, sweetheart. All this stuff that, to me, it's like, you do that as a heel, and she's really good as a heel. But she never really adjusted her babyface character. And I, to me, this is a heel versus heel match. I just don't see a need to cheer for Sasha Banks here. Again, big fan of Sasha Banks' work. I just don't think they ever fully did work on the back end of this, quote, turn to make it a full babyface turn. They didn't tell the story. They just had her turn being turned on by Bayley, and okay, we're supposed to cheer for her because you weren't smart enough. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the current iteration of this very big air quotes babyface Sasha Banks, because she's not that at all. To me, it's very her personality right now is very off-putting. And I don't mean it in channel-changing way. I mean in heel heat, which is the good way. Just the problem is you're cast as a babyface. That's the problem. Carmella, on the other side, I think has done a nice job with her return. She's got a different look. She's, you know, she's kind of freshened up. Yeah, she's a little bit kind of generic in her, you know, I'm untouchable. Well, what the hell does untouchable mean? We haven't really gotten to understand that yet. This guy that she's with, you know, apparently he can't defend himself and just gets beat up by Sasha Banks every week. It's bizarre. And then, again, I don't know, her whole champagne thing. Like, I'm fine with it. You know, again, it's kind of a little bit generic, but Carmella's not bad on the mic. I actually enjoyed her run as SmackDown Women's Champion a number of years ago. I really did, and that's really forgotten on a lot of people. Carmella is a very good heel, very good, and she certainly plays the part. She's got the blonde hair Vince likes. She checks all the boxes, you know, all those you know, kind of artificial boxes, I'll leave it at that, that Vince McMahon loves to see for his Women's Champion. So I think Carmella could win here. Number one, Sasha Banks, I think WWE recognizes, isn't really going well with the babyface turn because nothing was really told on the babyface side. Carmella is fresh. She's new. I think that they've been building her over the last few weeks to tell the story of her grabbing the championship. So I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm not trying to tell you to change your pick because we know what happens when I do that. But I think Carmella walks away with the SmackDown Women's Championship. And when a babyface is in chase mode, it's always a better story than when the babyface defends. And also, last point, I promise, we're in WrestleMania season in a month. You're going to start to see championships being transferred to heels as the babyfaces chase those heels into WrestleMania. It's always a better story when you get to that mountain to have the babyface chase than having the other way around. So,
yeah, and you're so right. You know, like I'm so tempted to
don't
change
do it.
my
don't.
I know. And like I'm not just because, right?
Yeah,
like I'm really tempted, but just because I'm not going to. But you're absolutely right, and that's why I wouldn't be surprised if Carmella won because of every reason you just stated. And maybe I in a way I kind of do want Carmella to win, because if that's what it takes to build Sasha Banks back up as a babyface, then so be it. But it's just for me, like I want her to win because I feel like she's gotten over the whole, like, oh, I can't, you know, I can win the title, but I can't defend it thing. Fine, but she hasn't really held the title that long. And what if you defended it, you know, like less than a handful of times? And I don't know, for me personally, maybe it's just my own feelings in it. I don't want that to just be like her run. Like, yeah, she got past it once or twice, but she still didn't hold it for that long. And she's great in the chase mode, but again, like how long can she really hold on to it? So, and it would have that good feel good moment, right? If Carmella beats Sasha at TLC and then Sasha's on chase mode all the way through WrestleMania, whether it's a rematch just one-on-one or if it's a triple threat, if Bianca Belair gets involved. I don't know, but that's kind of why I'm sticking with Sasha, because I think maybe they're going to go in a direction with her and Bianca and have that long-term play out, but I would not be surprised, and I wouldn't hate it if Carmella won. And I agree with you. I like what she's doing with this new style and this new character, her new entrance and everything. She's with whatever they give her, whatever she's given, she knows how to make the best out of any situation. So kudos to her. Absolutely. If nothing else, she would deserve it.
No, I'm with you. Totally with you. And don't forget the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble, to me, is something that we can't overlook, because Sasha Banks in the Royal Rumble, would that be more interesting with Sasha in the Rumble or with her as the women's champion defending it?
I'm sorry to cut you off. Becky's Thunder, you know? She lost at the beginning of the Rumble, fights to get back into the match, overcomes the odds, wins the Rumble, and then goes into WrestleMania that way. So, you could be onto something there.
Right. No, I could be. But I've also been proven wrong many, many times. So let's keep our picks, because you're probably right. I mean, the safe pick is certainly Sasha Banks. I'm going with a little bit more. And I say
And hopeful.
Yeah, it's not a crazy pick. It's not a landslide. It's kind of like 60-40 Sasha Banks, Carmella. I'm going with the bit of the underdog here in Carmella. So we'll see what happens. All right. I know we're pressed for time, but we got two big matches left. Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in a TLC match. All right, I'll let you take this one first, and then I'll take Drew and AJ, so go ahead.
I think Roman Reigns is the best thing in WWE right now on Raw or SmackDown. I think that's no surprise, right? I'm so happy we finally get this Roman, and I look forward to SmackDown because of Roman. I think he's obviously the highlight of the show, and I would have him threaded throughout that show as much as possible, but of course not to overexpose him, but anything that he's been doing lately, maybe the past couple weeks haven't been as exciting as maybe the beginning of it, but I still look forward to seeing whatever he's doing and hearing whatever he has to say. And I think that shows also, in the same token, how strong of a character and how important his having a character like Roman Reigns and that star power is to have as your champion, because Kevin Owens is, of course, we know how great Kevin Owens is, regardless of babyface or heel, but Kevin, they're kind of hot and go, or hot and stop with Kevin. Like, they really, they'll get behind him, and then they just kind of stop pushing him. But Kevin has been really good in this role, and he has made me believe that maybe he has a chance, you know? There's that glimmer of hope that maybe he could beat Roman Reigns. Is it likely right now? No, but he provides that what-if possibility, and that's the whole point of wrestling. And I think that really says a lot for, of course, Kevin Owens, but Roman Reigns as well, because I think if this was the Roman Reigns from a year ago, we would automatically assume, and maybe we are automatically assuming here too, but it's different, because this Roman Reigns is completely different. Like, he is the star of the show. Like, he is the head of the table. But he's not overshadowing everyone now, right? He's kind of elevating whoever he's working with as well. So I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting match. I think Kevin's going to do something crazy, as he always does. And I'm happy for Kevin. I'm sad he's most likely not going to win here. And, of course, my prediction is Roman Reigns. But until Kevin it's his time and he gets that shining moment again, I just appreciate everything that he does. But this is going to be one of those matches where I think Kevin's going to put his body through hell. But Roman's going to keep it here.
This one, so I'm struggling with this one, believe it or not. I'm still going to go Roman Reigns. I'm still going to go Roman Reigns. That's my pick before I get into my explanation of it. Roman Reigns, I think, wins, and I think he needs to win more than Kevin Owens. And I hate saying that, because I love Kevin Owens. This is the most relevant thing he's done since last year's WrestleMania, when he threw himself off the WrestleMania sign and injured himself, and he came back, and he wasn't really back, and he was doing weird stuff in and out. So this is the most relevant thing Kevin Owens has done in about 10 months, 9 months. This is certainly, to me, a big opportunity for Kevin Owens, but is it really? Because Roman Reigns is so damn hot as a heel that, and I hate to say this, but he's been so good that I'm willing to sacrifice Kevin Owens not winning because Roman Reigns has been so good. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But Roman Reigns has transferred from a guy that you kind of dreaded and almost turned away with one eye open looking at him cutting a promo to actually wanting to listen to hear him talk, which is the complete opposite. And you throw Paul Heyman in with him, a guy that you think when you're setting these two up together is going to be the mouthpiece, and he hasn't barely said a word. And it's amazing to think that Paul Heyman, although still really doing an important role with his body language and doing an excellent job with his body language, I think an underrated job with his body language, is not even the mouthpiece for a guy that you thought, oh my God, he's so weak at promos, they're going to need Paul Heyman. He hasn't needed him at all for promos.
It's fascinating to see.
It's mind-boggling that that's the case, but that's what happens when someone is miscast for 6 years and you're able to flip the script and let him be who we all knew he was six effing years ago. So that's what happens, and that's the beauty, and hopefully it's eye-opening for creative and Vince to go, oh my God, this is what we've been missing? Yeah, this is what you've been missing for 6 years. So I think I hate saying it because Kevin Owens is one of my favorites, but to me it's worth keeping Roman as champion rather than having Kevin Owens regain it. If it was anyone else other than Roman Reigns with the Universal Championship, I would say Kevin Owens needs to win this, but I think Roman Reigns does. I think he'll put up a fight. I think he'll, you know, hit the stunner. He'll, you know, do everything he needs to, but ultimately it's going to be Roman Reigns winning the championship or retaining the championship against Kevin Owens. And maybe it's because of Jimmy and Jey Uso, who are there to help Roman Reigns out, and they get the true bloodline back. And, so that's what I think about that. Although I'm expecting a really crazy match. And correct me if I'm wrong, but these TLC matches are really just ladder matches. Like, they're really a ladder match. You don't pin or submit someone in order to win this match. It's just you have to. It's a ladder match, just kind of right. A glorified ladder match. I mean, so
you're just expected to use tables, and chairs,
which is what you can do in any other normal ladder match. But they it's all marketing, right? So,
well, it's the name of the pay per view. You have to have a TLC match, of course. It has to match the pay per view name.
I'm glad that they're not doing individual ladder match, a chairs match, which they used to do. I'm so glad they're not doing that.
The chairs one always, out of all of them, just really blew me. Like, really?
Yes.
Really? A chairs match? Okay.
And what's interesting is during that match, they could take like 20 shots to the back, and you know, it's like hitting a clothesline on them. But yet when they're in a non-gimmicked match, just a normal wrestling match, they get hit with a one shot, they're down, right? Like, I mean, it's such an overexposure of the business, but okay. Limited time here. Final match here. WWE Championship, TLC. I'm going to take this one quickly with Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles. This one has me shook because you would look and go, well, Drew's going to retain. He just got it back from Randy. I wouldn't be so sure on this. And the reason I wouldn't be so sure is this is a match or a pay-per-view in which you have both Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns on the same card in the same building at the same time. What that means to me is, and yes, there are rumors of Roman Reigns versus The Rock, and The Rock has, you know, the whole talking smack thing. I've heard it all. I still think that, you know, given The Rock not being at WrestleMania to face Roman Reigns, which I know all the rumors, I think, I'm going way off here, but I think AJ Styles wins this because Roman Reigns ends up screwing Drew McIntyre. That I know that this is not a safe pick. This is not a smart pick at all. And likely Drew McIntyre probably will retain. But if they want to do something big to end this pay-per-view and get a buzz and you know they're all worried about the ratings, I think Drew ends up getting screwed by Roman Reigns in this match. Especially if this is the actual true main event. And it's not Roman Reigns, you know, in the main event. I mean, they could flip it, but if Drew's in the main event, I would be very careful. I really don't think it would be that interesting or newsworthy or buzzworthy if Drew just Claymore kicks AJ Styles, he goes up, grabs the championship, and, you know, goodnight the lights, and it's over. Plus, these matches are also very easy to not have any egg on your face as a babyface, because you don't have to pin or submit to lose. So is it really a loss? Kind of like the Inferno match. A lot of gimmicks here that could protect babyfaces from losses because it's not a clean loss. So to me, I think Drew McIntyre unbelievably loses the championship to AJ Styles. And we have Amos and Drew McIntyre. That's going to be a fun little stare down. But that's my pick. Crazy pick, but go ahead.
It's funny because I thought I was going to have a crazy pick, but for a different reasoning, but the same ending. So I kind of think AJ is going to win here as well. It's very interesting what you said about having Roman get involved, though, because if the goal, of course, like you said, all the rumors aside, you know, with The Rock and everything else, if the goal was to have Roman and Drew at this year's WrestleMania, that obviously would be the best way to get that set up. But to me, it's like, do you, if that is your goal to have that match at Mania, do you really want Drew to not have a title? Or, because then, it's weird because then it's like, okay, well, is it going to be a title unification match? And then if it's not, then it's pretty much the same thing that happened at Survivor Series. So it kind of gets messy there. But I think AJ is going to win here. And for whatever reason, I can just picture having, I see Omos is his bodyguard's name, right? Omos, mm-hmm. That's how you say
almost,
it?
Almost, something almost, like that.
Yeah. I just picture him having AJ on his shoulders and mm-hmm. just getting the title. And just having that lasting image of AJ holding the title, sitting on Omos's shoulders. I don't know why. I just see it. It hurts me to say that because, like, to me, AJ Styles should never be taken as a joke because he's AJ Styles. But you can't be somewhat funny or have a personality and still be taken seriously. You just kind of have to be one way or another in WWE world. So this is the AJ that we're getting now. And he's doing a as best of a job as he can with it. I just see AJ winning here and kind of for the same reasons that you were laying out for Sasha, just having Drew in chase mode. And if the goal is to have fans at WrestleMania, having Drew regain the title there, even though it will be the third time and won't have the same impact as the first or even the second, but having it there with fans and having that as his crowning moment, I can just see the rematch happening there. But It does matter what they're going to do with Roman, too.
Exactly. And the thing is that a lot of this, too, is what's driving it for me is the Royal Rumble. Who would be exciting to have in the Royal Rumble? I think Drew McIntyre would be more exciting to have in the Royal Rumble than AJ Styles, given the impact of Drew McIntyre last year eliminating Brock Lesnar, people losing their minds, one of the biggest pops I've heard in years. You know, that to me would be more interesting as Drew McIntyre in the Rumble because, okay, he wins. Who does he challenge? Maybe he challenges an existing AJ Styles for what happened at TLC. Or maybe he goes after Roman Reigns and he's forced to put the Universal Championship on the line against Drew McIntyre. Like, to me, that's a very clear-cut, simple path.
And that's that babyface you need going into Mania, especially if you don't have Brock this year. Of course, I'm not saying Brock would be the babyface, but you don't have that star power right there. So that's automatically eliminating one match in one element. So it's just another one of those things where people can get behind Drew.
Exactly. Easily. Exactly. And I think either way, regardless of what the logic is, I think I really thought you were going to pick Drew. So you and I are going out on a limb here and going AJ Styles. And it's just
again,
logic.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Drew won, but I feel AJ.
Yeah, I love Drew as champion, but I'd be a little disappointed pointed in it only because there's a lot of potential with Drew in chase mode going after AJ. I love Drew in chase mode. Or there may be Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre conundrum that's out there. Both of them are on the same pay-per-view at the same time in the same building. And Drew said he didn't forget what happened, that they will cross paths again. Maybe, you know, something happens here. I don't know. But to me, that looks like the Drew McIntyre-Roman Reigns main event at WrestleMania. If, of course, we're assuming The Rock is not going to be involved, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, that's always on the show.
You have Sheamus there as well for Drew to play up in the next
few
months,
too.
Yeah,
Sheamus.
You have Sheamus to kind of keep Drew occupied at least until maybe February, and then February, depending on when WrestleMania exactly falls, if it's the beginning of April. You have a month and a half, 2 months, and you know they can cram stuff in at the last minute to build a big match. So you can always have Drew and Sheamus for a couple months and then go from there.
You just threw a wrench in it because AJ Styles beat down Sheamus pretty bad on Monday night, which told me, he's going to get involved and want payback on a TLC, and he's accidentally going to hit Drew again with a Claymore and cost him the championship. So there's a lot of outs here. It could be Sheamus screwing him, it could be Roman Reigns, or it could be Amos who just puts him on his shoulders. Either way, I think AJ Styles walks out as champion, and I think that's ultimately what happens. So, alrighty, well, Ashley, thank you so much for coming on. Before you head out, any social media that you'd like to share?
Just feel free to follow me on Twitter at @ashmanns. I'm trying to get still a little bit better at Twitter. I've gotten a little bit better at it, especially nowadays. To have some downtime and everything. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this pay-per-view. Like you said, it's not the most exciting, but I think it's going to be solid pretty much throughout the show. And then I'll be interested to see what they do with a few key matches. So It was great meeting up with you again and kind of getting back into our old groove of doing the preview shows.
Yeah, I know. I could not have. That's what I said. It was just by chance. It wasn't even like by design. So it's for whatever reason, you know, the wrestling gods are just like, no, you need to contact her before a wrestling pay-per-view because that's just what you guys
I'm
do.
I'm glad you did, yes. So,
all right, Ashley. Well, you take care of yourself and hopefully we'll talk soon.
You too. Stay safe and take care of her.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.